Hey gang, welcome back. Matt here with episode 43 of Zero Carb Journal. I said that funny. Morning you guys, how are ya? How's everyone doing? Hope you guys are doing great, making progress, staying positive. What time is it? It's about 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, on a rainy Sunday morning. Man, it is just pouring out there, and it has been an awesome week here, you guys. It hasn't been raining. Yesterday was beautiful, sunny. It was like shirt off weather. I went surfing, went down to the beach. I went surfing a couple times this week, which was awesome. Yeah, I had a great week, you guys. I just pretty much cruised through this week. Let's see. I don't think I have much of interest to tell you about sort of mundane stuff. I just kind of went through my week and got stuff done, but I had a really good week. I felt good all week, you guys. Didn't stray, ate my lamb burgers or lamb and beef mixed burgers that I've been eating. I'm eating as I have been, about 3 pounds a day, and really enjoying them. And what else? I think I might have eaten, I ate some lamb shanks and I ate some lamb ribs. So about 3 pounds a day, and every couple days of the week, I eat about 4 pounds. Stayed really regular for the most part all week. You know, the lamb, the fattier lamb bits, the ribs and shanks, they do, just like I said last week, they do sort of send me to the bathroom, it seems like, an extra trip or two during the day. I did end up having to use the bathroom in the middle of the night. Nothing bad, but just interesting to note. I'm pretty sure, again, like I said last week, it's just the fatty, you know, the fat content of that meat sort of upsets my stomach a little bit, or upsets my digestive system. It wasn't upset. I wasn't hurting or anything, but anyways, boring old stuff. Same old, same old. So what a week though. I had a really good week. Personally, I got a lot done. I felt like I stayed really positive, and kind of felt like I really settled into, you know, there was a few days in the week when I was like, what am I doing? And sort of felt like I was sort of off track a little bit and wondering what my next direction was. I guess what it was I've written my goals down. I know what my plan is. But I just, you know, I'm sort of like in a holding pattern, I guess you'd say. And I guess I was like anxious to move forward faster. And so I sort of sat down and reevaluated what I was up to. You know, sometimes I'm like, maybe I should go, you know, just get a job. And, you know, I'm doing great. I'm totally cruising. I don't, have much income, but I'm kind of like staying just right at the level I'm at, which has been amazing. I haven't really hit this maintenance level ever. Well, I mean, there's been times in my life when I made, you know, anyways, with regards to my goals of being here and finding financial independence at home. And so, yeah, this week anyways, I just sort of like was like, whoa, I'm not feeling super active. And then I kind of sat down and reevaluated my goals and what I was up to. And yeah, I just really kind of was, I think more than anything, I just was like, it was a little unsettling to not have to work so hard to move forward. I've been pushing so hard for so many years now. Really, you know, life has always been, is always a struggle, I guess, for all of us. But for these last 3 years of finding my health and, you know, getting sick and restructuring my living situation and my income and my out, you know, everything. I decluttered and sold all everything I owned. And, well, you guys know the whole story. And so, yeah, it's a little, you know, every now and then I just have to, like, look at my chart of where I'm going, my map, and know that I'm on the right track. So yeah, so I had a really good week, is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that I sort of struggled with that a little bit and reevaluated what I'm up to and feel really good about my path. So a big part of that is, my health and my, you know, evaluating how I'm feeling and my lifestyle, my, what I'm eating, how it's affecting everything. And in the sense that, that it's a big part of how I feel about my progress and all of those things. So anyways, I just, I guess what I'm trying to say is I reaffirmed really what I'm doing and what I'm feeling here about this whole program, and I really couldn't be more stoked. I had a couple experiences that really sort of firmed that up. I went down to the beach surfing, as I said, and I ran into old friends like I always do down there. This time I saw someone who had moved away from town and is recently back, someone who I haven't seen for probably 15 years. I didn't recognize them, actually. And they ran up and go, oh, yeah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I recognize your face. Tell me your name. And it was someone who, you know, I was pretty tight with a long time ago. And they just were sitting there with another friend. And that person was like, man, you look fantastic. Well preserved. And it felt really good. So, you know, it's still. And then I had another interaction with another old friend who said the same thing, who just said, it's just obvious, you know, how healthy you are these days to everybody. And yeah, it made me feel really good about my choices and my goals and where I'm going right now. So anyways, I got some stuff I do have a topic today, or a couple of them that I'd like to go over. I want to go over my workout a little bit. I did some filming this week just of my workout. And, you know, I just want to touch on that. You know, as you guys know, I do calisthenics. I use rings because rings enable one to really scale the intensity of many, many, many exercises, such that, you know, I feel I really don't need anything else. There's a lifetime ahead of me of challenge there of more difficult weight than I can move, I guess you'd say. So, you know, it's a lot like a weight set, but you just don't need all the stuff because you can scale the progression such that it's always more and more difficult regardless of how strong you are. So, you know, I do a real simple routine. I basically follow what's called the recommended routine at Reddit's Bodyweight Fitness. And it's really just six main exercises, you know, a vertical pull, vertical push, which can also be down vertical, and a horizontal push and a horizontal pull. And so those are the four main upper body, and then combine that with, I do squats and Nordic curls for my hamstrings and glutes. And that's really the main part of the workout. Now I work on three skills, which is my handstand, my front lever, and my planche. And then I combine that with three abdominal exercises that are the three directions our abdomens move, which is anti-rotation, anti-extension, and anti-flexion, compression. I'm not sure what the right word is there. But at any rate, so three ab exercises, which are Palaf press, pushing to the side, twisting, hyperextension, reverse hyperextension, which is sort of bringing your legs backwards up into a Superman position. And I do a ring rollout, which is similar to like an ab wheel. And sometimes I do those with weights, sometimes not. So it's just those six exercises. As you guys know, I found that I wasn't able to really maintain a high volume of workout. And so I've been trying to structure my workout such. So lately I've been splitting those exercises into 2 days. I just listed 12 exercises, actually. I said six, but it's really 12 when you count those skills I'm working on, accessories. So I split them into 2 days, and I do a day of six of them, and then the next day, you know, so Monday, Tuesday, I work out, and then I take Wednesday off, and then work out Thursday, Friday. I've been finding I haven't been able to even do two of the hard day. The hard day is when I do all my push-pull stuff, and then I just do an easy day of my handstands and ab work. And so, as I've mentioned many times over this journey, you know, one thing I found was I was just been overdoing it. And so I find that one day now of those difficult days really just gasses me. I mean, I was burnt for the whole week. Well, I'm going to show you this little video I filmed. It's just a little clip of each of my exercises. I do more of each of them than I'm showing. I do three sets of each. And I do, you know, usually about six or seven of each one, although the dips with the weights, I can only do, I think, four. But I watched the video, and I'll show it. It's probably, I'll be showing it right now, maybe. And You can see how hard I'm straining. I just don't know how to take it easy. I think that a big part of my problem, I've never lifted weights with anyone who knows how to do it. And I always push myself really hard. And now I've been reading and reading and reading. And I think for the last few years of doing this, I just have been going too hard. Maybe I need to back down a little bit, save some gas in the tank, and just not kill myself. So, and it isn't a function of killing myself with like volume, like I'm just gonna work out every day all day. It's that I just try super hard each time, each individual lift. I just have to lift my max weight, it seems like, or whatever it is every time. So I'm gonna try and learn to do better at that. Watching this video really helped me. But aside from all that, what I wanted to say about it was, you guys, I took some progress pictures. Over the last 3 years, I've been taking progress pictures. And if you don't mind seeing me in my underwear, I think maybe I'll put some up here because, I feel pretty good about it. And so I'm going to put those right here. So I'm going to be in my underwear, dude in shorts. So don't look if you are offended. But I'm really starting to see progress. Let's just say that. I don't need to, be vain or whatever, but it's a big part of liking myself is making progress, whether I feel like it's happening. Like, even 6 months ago I was still struggling. And then, as you guys know, back in August I did a little cut to try and lose some weight, and since then I've really been eating ad lib since the beginning of August, so the end of July. So it's August, September. So 2 months now I've been eating ad lib. Well, my weight, I did weigh myself a couple days ago just for the first time in a long time. My weight has changed by maybe a pound since August, but I feel like I've gotten a lot stronger and I feel like my body composition is a lot better. So I don't know. It's like I'm finally sort of unlocking the things that that allow me to make progress. I think most important is just not being sick, right? Like not having the gallbladder attacks or the inflammation from various whatever it might be. So at any rate, I'm feeling really good about my progress. I took a little break Friday, and the next couple days I'll probably take a break. I'm at my 5 week deload period here for my workout, and I think I'll probably restructure and I say this all the time and I never do it, and maybe try and ease up on those workouts a little bit. But then I say that, and I sit down and I write out my goals, and I just want to get my muscle up and front lever so badly. It's frustrating. I like I said, I like my body composition. I feel like I'm as strong as I've ever been. I'm still so weak, you guys, compared to what I see people doing. Even people who've only been working out for a short time. So, yeah, whatever. I'm not too worried about, I don't compare myself with others really too much, and it really is just a goal to allow me to continue to progress, which is just one of the most important things in my life that makes me feel good about what I'm up to. So anyways, that's enough about workout. Let's talk about this week. What a week. So lots of stuff to get you guys and me all wound up, and I had a pretty dang great week because I worked hard at staying positive and staying in the moment, but there was a lot of stuff this week that could throw one off of their game. And I tried to ignore all of it. A lot of it was hard to ignore. And I won't talk any of the stuff that doesn't have anything to do with you or I, but I do want to talk about one of the sort of underlying influences on, I would suspect, say, a lot of people in our circles' moods this week, especially the early part of the week, was a lot of the was the nutrition talks. Was that this week? Gosh, it feels like a year has gone by this week, doesn't it? But Joe Rogan had on a whole host of nutrition talks. I think it all started this week. It seems like an enormously long week. Like Chris Kesser and Joel Kahn doing an omnivore vegan thing. Lane, whatever his name is, I won't say any names. Lane and oh, Norton, Lane Norton, and who did he? Dom D. I don't know how to say the guy's name. The keto dude. You can tell I didn't listen. And then the last one, Rhonda Patrick and Jerry, and I didn't, you know, we could talk about this stuff all day long. And I had some interaction with some of you, some of my viewers, you know, people who had it had gotten under their skin, obviously. I mean, it's so easy for it to, especially when you're new and everything seems wrong anyways, and you're doubting yourself anyways, and then these guys come along and just throw a whole ton of doubt into the mix. And frankly, one of the worst offenders is someone in our little circle, and that drives me nuts. I'll try not to say any names, but you guys are going to know who I'm talking about. But I want to sum all of it up in just a simple observation. You guys all, you know, those guys said all kinds of stuff. They must have talked for, what, 6 hours of podcast? Seven? I mean, I don't even know. I didn't listen. I didn't look. I didn't pay any attention. I did read some of the critiques online and whatnot, but I honestly just didn't care. And I want to thank Mike, by the way, from Keto OMAD. If you're not following Mike, by the way, you really should. Keto OMAD, guy in Austin on Twitter. He's just the coolest. And Mike, you know, thanks so much. As I commented to you, you know, Mike made a great video covering those podcasts and really bringing up an awesome point, which was to, you know, really, they boil down a lot of their conversation to, well, placebo, these people are zealots, you know, vegetables must be good for you because we know they are. And so it must be some sort of religious belief. And Mike really summed it all up to, like, no, it's results. We've, you know, these people have tried everything. He used me as an example, and I was thankful for that because he did a really good job of portraying my point of view, which is, I've been everywhere. I've tried everything. I was a vegetarian. I tried, you know, the diets that are supposed to work for people like me. I'm not basing this on any belief system. As a matter of fact, I don't believe it at all, basing it on what I can observe. So I don't need to go over his points, which really that was the gist of it, was results are what we're basing it on. But here's what I want to talk about to sum up all 7 hours of those podcasts. We got experts, right? We got Rhonda Patrick and Lane, whatever his name is, and Dom and Chris Kresser. I don't even know his name. Don't care. Omnivores. They don't. Yeah, whatever. And Joel Kahn, who, to be honest with you, I was the most interested in his perspective. Because I have a lot of vegan and vegetarian friends, and I want to believe that they're also on a path to wellness. And I struggle with that. My brother and sister, as you guys know, are vegetarians, and some of my dear friends are lifetime vegetarians. And I've been following a lot of vegetarians and vegans on Twitter lately, just so I get the other side of the story, because I really, man, I want to believe. Anyways, I don't know the answer to that one either, so I'm not here to give you any answers. Here's what I wanted to say. Studies on zero carbs, studies on carnivorous humans, right? Like the science that's out there. First of all, let's talk about science. What is science? I meant to go Google it right now, right before I started this, and I didn't do it, and I apologize for that. So I'm going to make up my own definition. Science, that's science. It'll probably be wrong. To me, science is observation. I believe science is observation. I believe science is, you know, the study of what we can observe, whether we can observe it with math or microscopes or, you know, all of those things. There's the scientific method. There's, you know, every bit of science boils down to verifying the world around us via observation. Okay? We observe studies, we observe epidemiological, you know, giant groups of people, we observe particles, we observe formulas and laws, and we apply those to the things we can observe to test them, and it's all about observation. That is what science is. Okay? So zero carb, carnivorous eating in humans, science. A lot of people think science studies, you know, organized observation. People talk about peer review, which I agree is absolutely crucial. Keep in mind, I have no education in any of this, so I'm so off base with most of this, so don't pick on me. But at any rate, you know, we get these experts on, right? And they are scientists. They're PhDs like Lane and Rhonda, or, you know, or whatever their credentials might be. And they cite studies and they fall back on, and Mike did a great job of talking about their appeal to authority. They fall back on their authority for the most part for their arguments. Now, they also fall back on the studies and the science. However, there is zero science studies on zero carb or carnivorous eating. That's not true. There's one, right? There's Stephenson's Bellevue experiment in 29 or whatever. So there's one study. There's one piece of hard science. No one brings that up. None of the experts, the scientists who are evaluating this, none of those scientists have any experience that I know of with carnivory. Rhonda's never eaten a carnivorous diet. Lane's never eaten a carnivorous diet. I don't believe Chris has either. I know Joe hasn't. Dom, I don't think he has. So what do they know? Like, what are they talking about? Like, what are they spending 2 hours discussing? And I'll tell you what it is. It's their opinions and their conjecture based on their experience and body of knowledge. So they've studied a whole bunch of studies of animals and humans eating mixed diets. Now we know, as Mike illustrates really well in his video, that if you just eat meat, you get a different result than if you eat meat and Brussels sprouts. And he's a really good specific example. He talks about, I think, the magnesium in the meat and how you eat that meat and you get that magnesium, and then you eat the same meat and you add Brussels sprouts, and it should be a sum of those things going in your mouth. But we know that those Brussels sprouts interfere with our ability to uptake that magnesium. So now we ate more stuff with more nutrients and we got less nutrients out of it. So we actually end up with getting less magnesium from that meal because we ate the Brussels sprouts. So we know these things. They know that. The scientists, Rhonda Patrick, definitely probably knows that that happens, but that doesn't come into the calculations. And it shouldn't. They have no way to calculate it. They don't know because there are no studies on people eating like us. So I'm not going to sit here, which I'm starting to do, and you can see how easy it is to do. I don't blame them. You know, they are appealing to their own authority, and not even in a way that's like obnoxious, like making an argument. It's just what you do inside yourself, you know? You say, I know these things. Sulfurine broccoli is good for me. You don't know that it's good for you in the context of a all meat diet with a little bit of that, like adding a little bit of that makes it better. We don't know that. She doesn't know that. They don't know. No one knows those things. So these people, you know, while it's interesting to listen to, you know, I feel like it does more harm than good, because there's no way for them to know. And they really strongly believe that they come from a position of knowledge. And it's convincing. I believe it too. I'll sit there and listen to Rhonda and I'll think I should probably start a broccoli sprout terrarium. So, you know, I just didn't listen. And I don't put any stock in any of that stuff. I don't put any stock in any science at this point with regards to how we eat. What I can observe is what I believe in. I can observe that I am better than I've ever been. I can observe that the other carnivores around me say the same things. They are having profound improvements. I can observe that their doctor's appointments all go very well. People aren't coming back and going, oh, my kidneys are failing, you know? We don't hear those stories. Now, is that proof that it isn't? No, that's not proof. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe I'm going to die of a heart attack because of high cholesterol, you know? I don't believe it. I do read the science. I do keep up on all of what's happening. And what I don't do is I just don't assume that we know better or that we've observed any of this. I will trust it when we do some studies that are applicable to my situation. But currently, if you're eating a carnivorous diet or zero-carb diet, there are no studies out there except for Stephenson's that are applicable to your situation. So ignore those people. They're going to say all kinds of stuff. They haven't been here. They haven't tried it. They don't, you know. That's one thing I think. And Amber brought up something wonderful on Twitter, and I think she got it from someone else whose name was maybe Paperclip. Ooh. think I remembered that. And it was, I'll paraphrase because I don't remember the quote, but it was really just, you know, maybe you have to experience something that goes against your strongly held beliefs before you'll consider that you might have been wrong. I know in my case, that is definitely the case. I would never have gotten here if I hadn't been forced to. I would never have believed that eating only, I would have been on the other side pointing back at all of you guys. I recognize that in myself. And I was forced to make these steps, and I had to see for myself that everything I believed was wrong. So Amber brought that up via this Twitter handle Paperclip, and I thought that was really astute. And so, you know, those people probably are never going to get here. Rhonda's probably going to eat broccoli sprouts her whole life and be convinced that it's why she's healthy. And maybe it is. I don't know. So anyways, you know, all of that to me boils down to our ego. And I don't mean an individual ego. I don't mean those people are egotistical. I mean just our human ego. Our human ego of assuming that our conscious minds can figure out for our bodies better, you know, to figure out what's good for our bodies better than our bodies can. And it drives me nuts, to be honest with you, because there's so much information that really just stems from misinformation and opinions about what we should eat and how we should eat and all those things that stems from people assuming that they can extrapolate due to their big brains from all this other information that really doesn't apply to us, extrapolate things about our diet. And I did mention that someone in our circles was one of the worst, and I'm, you know, is driving me nuts. It makes me so frustrated to see this continued push. But I'm going to say it again, is that the people who are pushing for one type of carnivorous diet as being superior based on a nutritional count, it drives me bonkers. And I'll tell you why. It's because of the exact same reason. It's because there's no science that shows either way. So there's people who say, well, maybe you can survive on just ribeye, but if you eat ribeye and liver and organs, and I won't use any of the specific examples, it'll, you know, point out who I'm talking about. You guys know who I'm talking about. But, you know, they say that's, now you're thriving. That's a superior, nutritionally superior diet. I get such a kick out of that. It's not that I get a kick out. You know what? I get a kick out of the inability for the individuals who say these things to see the big picture. It seems so small-minded to me. And these are intelligent people, but boy, they come off as very unintelligent to me when I look at this. And the reason I say that is because there's examples all around us of people thriving on ribeye, you know, eating hamburgers forever. Me, I'm one of them, right? I don't think that proves anything. I don't think I'm not saying ribeye all is superior. I'm not saying any of the ways of eating are superior. My point is that I'm thriving, right? Other people are thriving on a muscle meat only diet. So if your contention is that, you know, the diet with organs and high fat, and I won't go into all the details, but, you know, a certain combination of things is superior and you'll thrive, I just can't even understand the disconnect. To me, it's the exact same thing as looking at, you know, your daily multivitamin, and I don't eat any multivitamins, we know this, but let's say you're a multivitamin eater, taking your multivitamin and looking at the numbers on the back and saying, wow, if one is good, 10 of these multivitamins is better, right? It's not the way it works. And that's what really drives me bonkers is about these folks who say this stuff is they're smart. They study nutrition. They should know that we don't use more than we need. And if we don't have enough of something we need, we have a deficiency, and it manifests in some way. So I've asked these people specifically these questions. What should I be looking for these deficiencies? And I mean it in an honest way. I'm not trying to catch them in a you know, trap. I want to know what I should be looking for. Watch my eyesight, my night vision for vitamin A, you know, things like that. And so I do. But the funny thing is I never hear about anyone who's eating one way or the other with any deficiencies. Now, I'm not picking on the diet of liver and organs and, you know, eat them. If you love them, eat them. If you like them, eat them. Yeah, they have a ton of nutrition. Yeah. You're going to, you know, be getting guaranteed your adequate nutrition. And that's great. But don't point your finger back at people who don't eat that stuff and say, well, I am obviously eating a superior diet. Now, nutritionally superior, like, does it have more, like, quantities? Are we just going for, like, the maximum numbers? Because in that case, I'll just down a bottle of multivitamins and my numbers will be higher. I'm kind of ranting. You can tell it drives me crazy. And I'll tell you why it drives me crazy. It has nothing to do with me or feeling threatened about the way I eat. I'm not going to change what I eat. I have homegrown lamb liver in my freezer. I can eat it anytime I want. I pull it out of the freezer every once in a while. I did it a couple weeks ago. I cooked it up. I ate one bite. I hated it. I fed it to the dog. And, you know, that's how I deal with my organs. I buried the brains. I buried the kidney and spleen. And, you know, I don't want anything to do with any of it. And so I lost my train of thought there. My point was not that one is superior, not that, you know, my point is we don't know. Eat the meat you like, okay? That's all. That's all you got to do. If you like to add fat to your meals, add fat. If you like it lean, eat it lean. You know, the reason it frustrates me, that's what I was saying, the reason it frustrates me is because we have so many people coming in this way of eating. It's so hard, you guys, to wrap your brain around this way of eating. It goes against everything you've learned. You know, you really have to work to get over the hump. And I really feel like any obstacles in the way are detrimental. I mean, I wouldn't be here if I had to eat liver in order to make this successful. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't be able to eat liver every day. I'd hate it. I don't want to hate my life and hate my food. So it frustrates me because of the, you have to, that's what bothers me more than anything. You know, you must eat this, you must eat that. So, I guess, you know, really, again, I'll just boil it all back down to ego. You know, some people really can't get over the idea that we just don't know. And maybe we should just slow down and sit back and observe, you know, not read a bunch of stuff and try and extrapolate numbers from studies that have zero to do with us, that have no bearing on a carnivorous eater. You know, all of the studies involve people eating plant foods. There's no studies there's no science on any, you know, humans that eat the way we do. So, thanks for putting up with me ranting on that one. You know, the whole week, there was a lot of stresses for a lot of people. And I think those podcasts really, I don't care about people. You know, we don't need more numbers coming here. I mean, it has nothing to do with that. I do want that because I want to help the most people possible. But I don't think it hurt us in any way like that. I think it hurts us because it hurts us personally, right? They're like attacks on your psyche. It's hard enough to get here and to stay confident in our society and to go out in the world and not eat plants and to stay confident that you're making the right decision for yourself. And those podcasts do so much to undermine that. And they all come from people who have no experience eating this way, have never experienced the profound, I mean, even if it's not profoundly positive, it's just different here, right? Those of you who went from keto to carnivory, you know that. Now, every now and then we get a person who says, I didn't feel a difference. I think that's great. I think those are people who just have no issues. You know, they just are truly capable of being omnivores, which I think is a rare, rare, rare thing and wonderful. But for the most part, everyone who eats carnivorously finds a profound difference, if not a profound improvement, a profound difference. And so it drives me bonkers to listen to those people extrapolate their, experiences with plant-based eating to our lifestyle. So I'll stop talking about that frustrating stuff. Ignore them, people. They are not experts, you know. Look up people who eat this way. Follow them. I mean, Amber O'Hearn is probably, I think, the best source of information for scientifically minded people, and especially skeptics, because she is, like me, I think, naturally skeptical at every level, but unlike me, she's really smart and articulate and beautiful. I got kind of a crush. The ego of all of those people, the people within our circles and without, who think that there is some science that can support their point, that's really the gist of it. There isn't. There's not any science to support my point. So maybe you need to eat organ meats, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. But no one can tell you. Only you can observe that for yourself. And that's frickin' science. I mean, that's what you do, right? You run a study on yourself. No one else can do it. It's unethical. But you can do it. So there you go. So one more quick note, just a little side observation I noticed. I've been surfing lately, you know, I've been looking at the waves, and I've been doing another thing. I've been scanning my old photos from ancient times, and seeing all my old photos of skateboarding and snowboarding and all my old friends. And it's been great. And, you know, we are a people, my group, who have really based their lives around transition. And transition is a word that we use specifically as sideways people, I'll call us, skateboarders, snowboarders, surfers, who, you know, a transition is something to describe the transition from horizontal to vertical specifically, and it you know, covers that curve, right? And something that we do, have done our whole lives, is find flow and power in transition. Find the smoothest line. In a hairy situation, you know, surfing is a great example. Jerry Lopez, the Pipeline. I don't know if any of my analogies are going to make any sense to you guys, but, you know, calm in the eye of the storm, right? Like, going from intense, raging danger and staying strong and calm in the middle of that and getting spat out the end, uplifted. So I won't go too far into that. I'll just leave it at that. I'm just going to say zero carb to me is the same thing, right? It is transition, finding power in transition. And flowing through that transition in a way that leads you to somewhere where you're a better person. You know, you're energized, you're happier, you're healthier, whatever it might be. So it's a little bit of a rough analogy, but I found it as I've been going over the last few years of my life. It's a really apt analogy for me because I've been going through a ton of transition. I run into people now from the old days, like I did on the beach, and I am I'm the same guy, but if we sat down and broke down what I do, and, you know, I've transitioned, I'm a totally different person, and I found a lot of power, and I'm in a better place, getting spit out from that wash cycle of that incredibly tumultuous time. So, yeah, I'm kind of kicking out the back of my wave right now. I'm ready to paddle back out and get another one and find my next challenge that'll move me forward. But I just wanted to bring that up because this is a difficult change, you guys. Going from your standard way of eating, going from your old lifestyle, in my case, depression, pain, you know, all sorts of stuff, and transitioning to where I am now. just know that you're going to get there, but it's going to be hard. And you got to dig in hard, and you got to stand up strong and stay the course. Keep your eye on that little bit of sky poking out at the end of the barrel there. And you'll come shooting out in a big cloud of spray, and your friends will cheer. So anyways, that's enough for now, you guys. Ooh, that one got me kind of choked up. Yeah. So anyways, I hope you guys are great. I hope you guys are making progress and staying the course. And I'm going to get this video up. I'm going to put up some video. Well, I don't need to. We've already seen that now at the end of the podcast. Okay, so I'm going to go. Can you hear the rain on the roof? So nice. I'll get this up for you today. It might take a while. It looks like it was a little bit of a long talk, but I'll get it up hopefully this afternoon. And I will keep putting them up for you guys. I really appreciate you guys' comments, as always. You guys have been so wonderful to me, and I hope that I can offer some support back. If you have any questions or anything I can do for you, let me know. Anything I can talk about in the next podcast, please let me know. And yeah, I hope you guys are making progress and feeling happy and moving into the fall season here with your goals in sight, and that you're taking care of yourself. So, all right, that's enough for now this time, you guys. I will see you next week, and hope you guys have a wonderful week. As always, thank you for listening and watching, and that's it. Have a great one. All right, see you.